Come take my hand and see the world around you. The time is right, just let the light surround you. And step by step, you feel it coming alive. The feeling deep down inside, and you've got nothing to hide. To reach the top, you've gotta keep on moving. Don't let it stop, just gotta keep on moving. I know you're doing your best, you're stepping up from the rest. Just keep on passing the test.
Power Up Nation, if it is Tuesday, it is time once again to get powered up and energized with Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone right here on TDN Radio. So welcome to another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. This is our accountability check-in. This is where we stop by to see how are we doing on those goals that we have set out for ourselves. So a reminder to dust off those goals that we've had on the shelves for way too long and get them into motion. Write a to-do list, create a plan for how you will get to that goal. And we want to welcome you to the program. If this is your first time joining us, a special welcome to you. If you're a regular listener, we want to thank you for your support, for being with us. I'm here on Untapped Potential every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. As always, we have a great conversation lined up for you. And this time we are talking to two ladies originally from Dominica, of course, because we always like to promote our own. And they will be talking to us about the MSME sector. So we have a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that need a lot of support. So we are bringing in two women to talk on this particular topic. We're having one who is the owner of an MSME, Miss Ilhana Alexis, and we're also joined by a coach and a trainer for the MSME sector, Mrs. Jillian LaRocque. So we had a very engaging conversation with them a few days ago, and so I thought I would bring you that conversation here on Untapped Potential. And of course, we like to begin the week off with a note of gratitude. So what are you grateful for today? It is always a great time to remember everything that we need to be grateful for and even to begin a gratitude journal. So if you're looking to be more grateful in your life, and so many of us spend so much time complaining but not really being grateful for the positives that are going on in our life. So this is a great time to remind us to continue to be grateful. And we always say it on this program, if you cannot find anything else to be grateful for, just remember you woke up this morning, so we can begin to be grateful for the life that we have each and every day. So again, welcome to the program. We like to get the program started up with a wonderful song, and today I want to bring you one of my all-time favorite calypsos. Well, actually, it's a soca. From the late great Blacks. So this particular artist, I really enjoyed his music before he passed a couple years ago. So let us enjoy this number from Blacks, and which is called The Hulk. Let's enjoy this number and then stay tuned as we go right into our pre-recorded interview on MSMEs. And speaking of the rest of the program, today we won't have a tip of the week because I realized we went through the entire book. So I took a look at Pushpass then and realized that we covered the majority of the topics, including the importance of embracing failure, including the importance of choosing the right words and stop saying, you know, I'm trying, but instead say, I will make that change that I'm trying to make, and including the importance of planning our meals and planning our programs in advance. So we've covered the entirety of the book. So now it is really just up to you to grab your copy copy of Push Past 10 on our website, pushpast10.com. So that's pushpast10.com to grab your copy. So for less than $10, we have an important motivational tool that we are offering. And we're also offering the journal so you can keep track of your progress as well. So again, let's enjoy this number and then we will go straight into the interview. And instead of the tip of the week, this week, we will have an opportunity to listen to a very important development in Dominica. So stay tuned for that as we continue along with the book.
Things does come before blessings, but we have to be patient, yeah. Weeping and mourning in the night, but joy in the morning. But we just have to endure. You see, God, the way no night come, so you don't really need to lie down. Them say what goes around comes right back around. I go wait until my time come. So from sun up straight to sunset, you could catch I bust in a sweat.
Dominica, do you need a passport, birth certificate, or you need relocation services? Then look no further. Cymex is here for you. All your document renewal, document retrieval, and relocation services. Convenient, professional, and stress-free. Contact Cymex today. Visit us at www.simexx.org. Again, www.simexx.org, or call or WhatsApp us at area code 767-316-7752. Again, 767-316-7752. Cymex is your one-stop shop for document renewal, document retrieval, and relocation services. Cymex, your homeland connection, bringing Dominica to you.
Contact the changing us. Landscape of the MSMEs, micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises, and what is needed to support them. So without any further ado, ladies, let us jump into this discussion. So just tell us, because this is Roots Connection, so we always talk about our roots in Dominica. So just tell us a little bit about your upbringing in Dominica. And this time, Jillian, I'll start with you.
All right. So interestingly, I was born and raised in Salisbury. And that was such a rich upbringing for me. Salisbury is a place where people, well, when I used to live there, because I don't live there right now, but at the time you got a deep sense of independence, you know. Mm-hmm. You work hard and you achieve. And there was always that competition among that helpful competition in academics at school and in terms of in careers. Everybody was trying to build up someone else and aiming for something. So that is key to where I am today. That programmed me in a particular way that has helped me up to today. I moved to Biosch, so in terms of roots, because my mom is from there, my father is from Salisbury. I am originally John Charles, so that's my roots in Dominica. Mm-hmm. I attended primary school in Salisbury, high school, Isaiah Thomas Secondary School, proudly. And I did our college at the time. It was not yet DSC. Mm-hmm. So I've been in Dominica for those formative years, and I've enjoyed my upbringing. You know, my parents were into farming. My mother, up to this day, she's getting 70, and every day she's working hard. and that's a legacy that she has left. She has created, you know, for us. I did not go on to formal education to get a degree, mm-hmm. in anything. I actually started studying law. I got accepted to study law at UWE, which I felt so privileged to have gotten that opportunity. But I said to myself, I'm not willing to place a strain on my parents to send me to law school. So I decided to do something through the University of London. Mm-hmm. But during that time, I was actually working for a lawyer's office. And I did not like what being a lawyer looked like, mm-hmm. Mainly because of our legal system. And I think also it's because what they saw in me when they said, you know, Jillian, you're that lawyer there, you like to argue, you like to get your point. So they always used to tell that to me when I was growing up in Salisbury, on the block, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think what they mistook for that legal mind was a salesperson, mm-hmm. and once I figured that out, I just took that and I ran with it, and I'm a self learner, so there's nothing I cannot learn on my own. So for now, I have not gone on to that level in formal education, but I learn every day, and I love this age where you can just learn anything as long as you apply it yourself.
Absolutely. And I'm so happy that you talked about the skills that you would have used to be a lawyer, because you've been on several programs with me, and I know that those same skills apply very well in terms of you giving back to the community. So I think you took the right direction. Absolutely. Elhana, tell us a little bit about growing up in Dominica. You're muted.
So I am from Fokole, since the hospital is in Goodwill. So after the hospital, the first place that I was taken was Fokole, and that's where I lived all my life in Dominica. Well, I would say most of my life in Dominica. I went to St. Martin Primary School and Convent High School, and you know, I used to be very, very quiet and studious. I would be in my books all the time, every day. Like all my kids, like all my childhood pictures, I would be carrying a book in my hand with a pencil. So all those old little pictures, then it's just a matter of turning away from my paper or my book for a few seconds just to snap the picture and to continue doing my stuff. So I don't know. I was just like in my own little world. I would always do like in my textbooks, I would like just go through my textbooks and just try to do all the work. Even before school, I was like, nothing else to do, right? But go in my textbook and do work and see what I can do and stuff like that. So I was always really studious. If I was not doing reading or doing some schoolwork or drawing or doodling or something, I would just always have a book in my hand. And I would just always have my head down, just in my own world, not looking at people, not really good at making friends. You know, in those days, you know, people would probably say that would like a tebe, you know, when you're just there. But I was always serious in school. I would always be first and second and third and fourth and fifth. The top five, a number is, you know, in those days in class, they would number everyone in terms of their grades. So that's how I was in primary school. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, in high school, I was still doing well and stuff like that. But in high school, I wouldn't say I was top because, you know, at that point, you have a lot of distractions, you have a lot of stress, you're a teenager mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I was a teenager. And I didn't grow up with my parents. So I grew up with my grandparents and, you know, living with grandparents, living with cousins, you know, a lot of playing, nobody really. But with me, because I was so studious, I'm the type of person that would be in my books. Mm-hmm. So that was not a problem. So a lot of things that happened in my life in terms of being so independent at that stage, I really kind of just motivated myself and told myself what I wanted to do with my life and took myself to school. I knew that in order for me to get anywhere I wanted to get to, they said that education was the key. So I was going for education. So I would stick with school. I know it was stressful, but I would stick with school because I knew that that might be my only way out of where I was, whatever my situation was. And actually, it ended up working out for me because I went to college, and I went to the Dominica. Well, it was not Dominica State College yet, but at that time, remember, I said I grew up with my grandparents, and things were not too good. But I was able to get a scholarship, and I went to college on a scholarship. So that enabled me to go to college, and that scholarship was sponsored by the Rotary Club. So it was a full scholarship. I was able to get, you know, travel money, uniform money. There was everything was there. So that really made it possible for me to get my sixth form education. Continuing along the line of education, because I realized that that is my way out. I decided that even though I became, as soon as I finished college, I started teaching. And although I liked teaching, but it didn't really seem like the thing that I really wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And I taught at the Goodall Secondary School for some time. And at some point, I decided, I was kind of feeling pressured because at the Goodall Secondary School at the time, a lot of teachers were doing their teaching degree. And I felt a bit peer pressured to go and start doing a teaching degree. And I started, and then I said to myself, that's not what I really want to do. I don't want to be a teacher for the rest of my life. So I said, no, I that's not what I want to do. And then eventually I applied for a scholarship to go to China to do my degree. Mm-hmm. And I went and I did my degree in economics.
Well, I have to say we're going to have a wonderful conversation because what we are seeing is two very different personalities, one more outgoing, one more introverted, but both lifelong learners. And Elhana, I'm listening to you and I'm like, you walked the exact path that I did because I mm-hmm. went to St. Martin's School, I went to Convent High School, and yes, we can call it Sifokol. We all know we can age ourselves and say we went to Sifokol. And I also got the Rotary Scholarship.
You did.
So it's amazing to see the path, the similarities.
Yeah.
Again, ladies, thank you for being here. We see the Facebook Live. People are coming in. Alan Pierre, good evening to you. David Joseph, Carl Kofi James, thank you for being here. Don't forget to share the live as you come in. So let us begin the conversation. Tell us a little bit more about, and this is for the panel, tell us a little bit more of what SMM is and what is the role that they play in our economy. Jillian, you can go.
Sure. I was unmuting myself.
Okay.
So micro, small, and medium enterprises, the definition really varies based on where you are. But sometimes it's seen as those businesses with less than 50 employees. In Dominica, we were trying to determine what we would use to gauge or define our for our country. And what I remember last was micro would be businesses that employ up to 10 employees, small enterprises have a workforce of 10 to 50 employees, and medium size about 50 to 200. So in terms of for our classification, this has been where we are. And in terms of the role, for me, firstly, a micro business owner takes the bull by the horn, mm-hmm, and creates their own employment opportunity.
Right.
You determine that you are going to create your job. Mm-hmm. It may be for various reasons, the passion you may have to be able to achieve something, to impact people in a particular way. And it may be that you were not getting someone else to hire you, so you decided to create your own employment. But in this sector, we have those who would employ people along the way. And just to make a distinction here, many people believe that they have a business because they do business transactions, but they're actually self-employed. And I part of what I do as a business coach and trainer is I try to get entrepreneurs to see it that way. If you cannot make money in your venture while you're at the hospital having a baby, it's not really a business. So within that space, locally, we have a lot of people in that part of the sector being self-employed and not necessarily having businesses. Mm-hmm. The role in development is critical because a lot of us, because I'm at that stage for now, a lot of us have now reduced the unemployment rate. So this sector definitely impacts on the economy of Dominica, the economy of any country. MSMEs grow, micro businesses go from self-employed to hiring other people. So that further increases the employment rate and increases production. It increases the country's production level. So definitely this sector plays a very big role in increasing the production of a country. And many do export, so increasing in foreign exchange, in increasing the export that countries actually do. So we definitely are important to economies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very well said. And Elhana, I want to come to you because I think you speak very well about the importance of registering your company. And I also want to piggyback on what Jillian said in terms of employment, because as far as I know, for now, and we're going to talk about Cymex in a little bit more detail in terms of what you do, but for now, I know you have at least one employee. So here's an opportunity that if your business continues to grow, as Jillian said, it's an opportunity to employ even more employees in Dominica. So tell us why it was important to you that you register Cymex.
Well, I'm operating a business in Dominica from outside of Dominica. So I live in the States and I decided, you know, I want to invest back home. I want to do something. I want to create employment. And with the idea of Cymex is that the business is going to grow And we are one day going to be able to move from being what we currently could probably be considered a micro business because we only have one employee. And at some point, we will be like the textbook definition of at least a medium-sized company one day soon. So it's very important. It was very important for me to establish Cymex as a company and also not just as a business name, but as an official company, especially the fact that I am outside of Dominica. So I want the company to be an entity of itself. Although that was my idea, but I found out through, you know, doing, through operating the business is that even if you have a company and you are a local owner of a company or your employee is a local person, many times, like in doing business and with all the bureaucracy, in certain offices, in certain authority offices, they would still consider you as just a person coming with a business and not consider the business as an official entity of itself as the law really, you know, creates. I mean, when you register a company, you're really registering that company as an entity by itself, separate from you or anybody else. So that was my idea in registering as a company. I wanted to make sure that it was a being of its own, and not really dependent, completely dependent on me, and not really, you know, not so connected to me in that terms because I'm not there. So a lot of things that I have to do, although it is supposed to operate, it's supposed to be able to operate on a with a distance basis. There are a lot of things that so much extra bureaucracy that is unnecessary. For even like in case in point, I've been trying to register my company for Social Security, and I've been having a hard time because they basically want me to come down and do it myself. Wow. And where is the company? And whereas, you know, looking at the requirements for registering a company, they say to bring the company documents. Bringing in the company documents, no, they want more stuff. So it's very challenging just trying to follow the rules and be compliant with what is already set. And I just felt that having it as a company would probably make it more manageable from afar. Mm-hmm. But that had been proven to be still challenging, but I think it might probably have been more challenging if it was just a business name. But it's a new company and we are working. So far we have been getting the recognition that we need from the, you know, the organizations where we are doing business with. Like one of our main business areas is helping people with their passports and stuff like that. So we have received recognition from the immigration office. So when we have that relationship with the immigration office, we have that relationship with the registry, because, you know, we also provide the service of helping Dominicans overseas or wherever they are to get their birth certificates, their certificates of title, and anything that is registered in the registry, or anything that is any document that is issued or being held or filed in Dominica, we assist them with getting those documents.
Right. So, and I was going to have you discuss that a little later, but let's just talk about it right now because you've already started talking about it. And I'm so happy that you mentioned the issues with registering with Social Security, because one of the things we want to look at this evening is whether there's an enabling environment in Dominica for businesses to begin and to thrive, and to have someone who is overseas, who potentially has the income to be able to start a company in Dominica. What are the challenges you are facing? So I know that the powers that be listen to every Q95 program. So we're already letting them know that these are the challenges that Dominicans who are overseas and are ready to invest in their country, these are the challenges that they're facing. So I'm very happy that you brought up the issue that you're facing with Social Security, where you're being told to bring in the documents. And you don't live in Dominica, but you're passionate and you want to invest in Dominica. So how can we work around this so that you are not discouraged, so that other people who are listening to our program this evening and watching on Facebook and YouTube, who are thinking of investing in Dominica and starting a business, now they're probably thinking, what? Now I have to go through all that drama with Social Security. So we have to begin having these conversations so that the powers that be know the challenges that people who want to invest in Dominica are facing. And how can there be a workaround so that you're not being asked to, you know, buy a $3,000 ticket to Dominica to come and bring in some documents? So tell us more about CYMEX, and I'll go ahead and type the website. And for those who are listening, grab a pen and paper. It is going to be www.s as in Sam, I as in India, M as in Mary, E as in Edward, XX as in x-ray, .com, and we will repeat it a few times this evening so that you can get the website information. But go ahead, Elhana, tell us about what is CYMEX.
So CYMEX is a company that I started with the idea that I would be able to help people to access services in Dominica. My initial idea started with helping people with things like passport and birth certificate, because these are things that I also need help with. I mean, as a person living outside of Dominica, these are things that I also need. And I also have family outside of Dominica. When I lived in Dominica, I used to be CYMEX for my family. I was the CYMEX, you know, everybody that needs to renew their passport, sent to Elhana. Anybody who needs a birth certificate, I've gone to the registry to get, you know, my parents' birth certificate, my parents', you know, like marital certificate, all those different things. You know, I went to get divorce decree, everything for people living outside of Dominica. And so while I was in Dominica, I saw, you know, that that's something that would have been, that would be a good idea if I could do that. When I came back from doing my degree, I had a short stint at the registry, and I was a probate clerk. So while doing that, I actually got to see, you know, the behind the scenes and interacting with people coming and drop off and pick up their stuff. And I realized that, you know, that's something that somebody could do, like be the middleman in between and help people so they wouldn't have to come down to do it. I remember meeting this one lady that came down to do her stuff because she didn't have anybody. I guess she probably didn't have anybody to do it for her. So she came to do her stuff, and she was so adamant about putting $20 in my hand because I got her stuff for her. And, you know, she wanted to, you know, make me, I told her to, she was coming. I told her that her stuff would be ready by the end of the day. And she was so happy. She wanted to give me $20. And I kept telling her, I don't want it. That's my job. I cannot take money from you and stuff like that. So I told her, lady, please hold your money. Come back this afternoon and get your stuff. It will be there. And, you know, I realized that people will pay. They'll pay you to get the convenience of being able to sit at their home in America or in London or wherever they are and have their stuff come to them through the mail. So the idea came to my mind then. But at that time, obviously, I know that I would need a website and all those different things with no money. That wasn't a possibility at the time. And so about in 2022, my sister was having an issue getting a passport. She had to do, like, she had to travel and she needed a passport renewed just when they turned the passports to the e-passports, and it was hell for her. And I was like, you know, this would be a good idea if that idea that I had to do, if I could put it into action, I could help situations like that. And I one day, a friend of mine and I was speaking about businesses in Dominica and doing business and types of businesses that would probably be successful, and I told her about it, and then we were like, okay, let's do it. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And I went on and I started doing the website, and I just started working on it, and I just continued to work on it. I decided to go and register it as a company and do all those things. Just in a matter of a week, I did all that, and you know, I just went with it at the time. So it's something that I've wanted to do for at least 10 years now, that I'm now able to actually put into action. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to enable people to access those services more easily. And when I say that, it's because a lot of the systems that we have in Dominica for obtaining things, for doing this and that business, different transactions that we have to do, it's so complicated. I wouldn't say it's complicated, but the process is so complicated because, you know, we are a small little island. We're not so technologically advanced, especially in the public service. So a lot of things are done so the traditional way. And in order to get, you know, to improve the service, I cannot improve the public service by myself. I cannot do that. I cannot improve the technology that they use in, you know, in the different ministries. But what I can do is I can be the shield. I can get in between that and take, like, you know, like, bear the stress of going through the different offices and all the different things that I have to do, take it and save the people from having to go through it. So what we're really doing is we're standing in between and fixing the system for people. So someone who wants their passport, they do not have to go to the immigration office and stand in the line. And then when it gets to their turn, they found out, oh, it's lunchtime, you're going to have to come back at 2, you know? They don't have to go through that. We will take that out of the plate. And in our own little way, we're helping the system. And instead of complaining about it, we are making it our business. That's basically what I'm doing with Cymex.
Yeah, and I'm very happy because, again, we're talking about passports, birth certificates, any sort of official document that you need out of Dominica. And I know one of the challenges that will immediately come to our audience's mind is the issue that we're having with Dominica. We've been able to print the passports. So we will come to that in a little bit. But the point I want to stress here is that you're able to do the services that you do in Dominica. Again, going back to the importance of registering that business, because you are recognized as a registered business. So your coordinator down in Dominica has the permission to be able to serve on behalf of Dominicans overseas. So again, anybody who's looking to set up a business, anybody who has someone who's looking to set up a business, we have to continue to remind them of the importance of registering that business. So Jillian, let me come over to you if you have any thoughts you would like to share at this point. But also, I want us to begin to look at what we're going to call this evening a SWOT analysis of the MSMEs. Of course, if you're in business, you already know what a SWOT analysis is. So we're going to look at the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunity, and the threats to that particular sector of the economy. And of course, if you're not familiar with the SWOT analysis, we always try to bring a learning element to this program. So I hope that you will learn along with us this evening. So again, we're going to look at the strengths, the weaknesses, the opportunities, and the threats to the MSME sectors in Dominica, because we have already established that it is a major contributor to the economy. Unfortunately, Dominica doesn't keep the most statistics, so maybe somebody on the Facebook Live or someone can call in to let us know what percentage does the MSME sector occupy in Dominica. But based on the number of entrepreneurs I keep seeing popping up on Facebook, we know that we have a lot of people who are looking to join that particular sector. So that is one of the reasons that we're having this conversation. So Jillian, let me come over to you. Any thoughts you want to share? And now let us start talking about the strengths of the MSME sector.
All right, thanks. Thanks for the opportunity to learn, because I'm learning about Cymex this evening. So
is that a fantastic idea? A well-needed service.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. It's actually something that I discussed with someone already who had that idea.
Oh, good. Well, Hannah, you beat them to it.
Well, I speak to a lot of entrepreneurs with what I do. So different ideas come up. Mm-hmm. And that's a good idea. That's a good service to offer. That is definitely a problem worth solving. Mm-hmm. And you spoke of registering. Registration is critical. There are many things that you need to many opportunities that an entrepreneur would want to access that they would not be able to access without being registered. Mm-hmm. So if that is just if there's one reason that's big enough for businesses to do so, that is one of them. And registering really solidifies that you are creating an enterprise. And that is an important thing to have in your mind, because within the sector, many people are popping up. Many businesses are popping up. I'm actually on a WhatsApp marketplace, a business promotion WhatsApp group with almost 600 people who identify as being in business.
Wow.
Maybe not all of them are registered, but they identify themselves as wanting to promote something that they have on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So having that differentiation is critical, not only for recognition, but for the entrepreneur themselves to understand that there's a separation between your business and yourself in terms of how you use your finances, in terms of how you deal with your stock, because you don't want to, like they say, get high on your own supply. You don't want to use up, you know, what you have for your business, for yourself personally, and that also carries on to your finances. So having that separation is critical. Now, in terms of the SWOT analysis, there are general strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats for the MSME sector, and there are some that are unique to us in Dominica. You know, sometimes we compare Dominica with overseas. Definitely there are some standards that exist outside of Dominica that we should aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have to understand our unique position and situation in Dominica. Strengths in this sector, you have the opportunity to be like a chameleon. You can change quickly.
Mm-hmm. Agility.
If you compare the size of maybe 10 employees as opposed to 200 employees, the change management is completely different between these two categories of business.
Right, because I like to compare them to a huge ship on the ocean versus a jetliner, right? A small quick boat, or whatever we want to call it. Because think of a huge ship on the ocean, how long it takes to turn, right? But if you have a speedboat, it can turn in an instant. So that is what I like to compare the smaller businesses.
Right.
They're able to pivot. Especially when it came to COVID.
You are listening to Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. If you live in Canada, the US, and the UK and are looking for Dominica products including cocoa sticks, bay rum, coffee, soaps, crafts, and other popular Dominica items, then look no further. You can now shop on buydominicaonline.com, a secure, easy-to-navigate website selling a wide variety of Dominica-made and Dominica-inspired products. When you shop on buydominicaonline.com, you are helping to grow Dominica's economy. Go to buydominicaonline.com and enjoy home away from home.
Just listening to the very first part of a program that we did with regards to the MSME sector in Dominica. And what I'll do, I'll bring you the second portion of this recorded program on our next episode of Untapped Potential next week. Excuse me. And now what I want you to listen to is we have these two gruesome murders that occurred recently in Dominica towards the end of last year, 2023. And it is incredible to believe that the main culprit in this particular murder is now seeking bail. He has self-diagnosed himself with prostate cancer, and I want you to listen very carefully to the information. And so he is now seeking bail from the courts in Dominica, which is completely unheard of. So I also think that is important that I bring you the ongoing developments that are going on in Dominica that are impacting the lives of Dominica. So this is a recording that I received from Matt Peltier over there at Q95 FM, and I wanted it to bring it here as well, because I think that we all need to be apprised of what is going on in our beautiful island, Dominica. So take a listen to this particular program, and of course it is on Facebook as well, at Push Past 10 on Facebook. So if you would like to comment, if you have some concerns that you would like to express about this particular situation, you can certainly head on over to Facebook and post your comments underneath that video. So take a listen and then stay tuned for the rest of the program.
Lyrics to introduce our story this afternoon. Of course, I heard this story this morning on the Nation Station BBS. Ivona John Baptist reported.
A bail application at the High Court in respect of murder accused American-born Jonathan Lair has been adjourned to Monday. Lair is asking the High Court to grant him bail of just under 6 months after he was remanded at Stockton Prison, charged with American Robert Snyder for the murder of Eco Resort owners Daniel Langlois and his partner, Dominic Marchand. The bodies of the two were discovered burnt in a vehicle they owned in Bois-Côtelette-Soufrière in late November 2023. It is not clear whether lawyers for Mr. Jonathan Lair are citing health conditions as a basis for the bail application. The matter is being heard before High Court Judge Colin Williams. Trinidad and Tobago lawyer Keith Scotland, the lead counsel for the state in the case, told CBS News they are opposing the bail application. The bail application resumes at the High Court on Monday.
All right, thank you, Ivona John Baptist. We also heard got a report there from Canadian television. They're monitoring the situation very, very closely. Let's listen.
Sent to CTV News, Lair says he has an 85% chance of having prostate cancer and that he was denied access to a urologist. Last week, the American businessman accused of a double murder broke his silence from behind bars, saying through a spokesperson that international media reports have been unfair. Lair and another American, Robert Snyder Jr., were arrested last December, days after Canadians Daniel Langlois and Dominic Marchand were found dead in a burnt-out car. It was not real, but the murders shook the Caribbean island. The couple was admired for philanthropy in Dominica, and Langlois was well known in Quebec as the creative genius behind special effects in movies, including Jurassic Park. Reports have swirled that a long, bitter dispute between Langlois and Lair over a shared road could be at the center of this case.
Nobody else should be passing on his property.
But Lair says the dispute was not as big a deal to him as has been portrayed.
It was a dispute, if you will, but it's been extremely kind of overblown in the narrative.
The final court ruling has yet to be issued. The years-long legal fight was over whether a road called Mona Rouge Public Road was indeed public or private, as Lair argued. It cuts through his 18th-century cocoa and coffee estate. Lair claimed he wanted to prevent damage to his historic buildings and had provided bikeable bypasses. The decision on whether Lair will be granted bail is expected early next week. Genevieve Beauchemin, CTV News, Montreal.
All right, CTV News there in Montreal, monitoring the story very, very closely, getting international attention. And of course, maybe we'll expect international press as well. The question is, according to this Canadian CTV report from a source behind bars, Mr. Larry is citing medical conditions. I remember a couple weeks ago, maybe months ago, when this story broke, followed by a major video where tears was shared by the people of that community. I want to take you back. Let's listen.
Thank you. am long pain. He was like a father, my backbone, my all, right? What no one ever do for me. That's what Daniel and Dominic did for me, you know? And I don't know when I have a wound in my heart. I don't know when. There's no medicine to heal that wound I have. I don't know how long I will stay crying. I cannot eat. I miss them so much. They were my all. I'm just going to take them away. I must be with talk to Dominic and Daniel on Thursday.
Really?
And then it hit me so hard.
When you heard
them
for the
death. Soon they take them away from me. And not only me, look, all the workers, everybody, the whole community grieving.
How long ago did you leave him?
Over 26 years. Because before they bought here, they were coming to Pititkulibri.
Right.
Yes. And I've been in Pititkulibri working for 33 years. And I worked with them 26 years. They were like a mother to me. I am so hurt. I don't know when I'll be able to stand on my feet strong. Every time I remember them.
When was the last time you saw them?
Well, the Wednesday. I saw Dominic, I spoke to her in person on the third, because she's somebody, she always busy, you know, and then I would be grieving something, I'll tell her I'm not seeing you all, because I'm working in the basement down below, that I'm the one that cooking for them.
Okay.
Yeah. Daniel and Dominic will go anywhere and they will come back and they will eat from me. They don't really eat anywhere. Maybe by sealing in tongue, they would have a little meal. But apart from that, I cook for them.
And you cannot believe they've gone?
No. Yeah, I spoke to her about 3:44 the first day. And then that was it.
That's it?
Yes.
This is what people are grieving
right now. Everyone. Everybody. Galeon Sufresco. In fact, the whole of Dominica. Who don't know them, especially for me, I live with them. It's like we are their children. One of them, Dominic, told me they don't need children. Marcelo, Selwyn, Nagy, you are my children. Yes, she was a lot to us.
You're the true mist.
Yes. Sometime in the morning when I wake up, I will take my phone and dial the number. And I listen, but if just I'm calling, they are not outside. Whenever I would call Dominic, the phone will ring one, the second one. She would say, hello, Nagy. I am not hearing that sweet voice anymore. No more Dominic, no more Daniel.
What is that about the people who committed the act?
I'm telling you right now, if they bring him there for me, I will chop him and chop him and chop him, and I'll take the prison for Daniel. For Jonathan, because what he did there, it is not right. And they will know from day one, Jonathan has a grudge. And I know it's jealousy, because when they first came to Dominica, they came up, Daniel invited he and his wife and three children to Pititkulibri. I am the one who prepared snacks for them. On four occasions, they coming up there. And little do we know, I don't even have a word, a name to call Jonathan. You know, he is worse than Satan. Satan would not do that to Dominic and Daniel, because they were too good, too loving people. They would not do that to him. And at the end of it, it was grudge, they bring enemy. And up to now, I'm asking myself why I cannot get an answer. Why he treated them like that? I cannot sleep. I cannot. I cannot sleep. I cannot do nothing. I am grieving from since then. You know how much they were to me. They were everything, like my mother. 2004, I fell sick, and what nobody ever did. That's what they do for me. I can never forget them. I wish they were there. Today I have to be trying to refinance it for Daniel and Dominic. It is painful. And not only me, the whole community grieving. We lose somebody good, a great man. And I keep asking myself, what have they done? Jonathan, why? Jonathan, and my tears, I let go, my tears. I tell the officers, you see that tears, I let him go from morning. And I fall on my knees and I said, if you see it, I've got to be 8 o'clock before midnight and you have to catch him. And I'm telling you, Jonathan killed my boss. And so said is he. So said is he. He thought he would get away with it. But the Almighty Father, my tears begged that thing drop in his leg. Amen. Please tell them, tell the Prime Minister, bring Jonathan Sufure for us.
We need him.
And
we
tell him, as Maggie said, bring Jonathan here for us.
Because yesterday I left.
We will do what we have to do. Because we suffer a lot. We suffer a lot from the big, the hotel did not even open. And when Jonathan and his wife tagged up, you know, she beat me up. The lady picked me up from the big race, Marcellus and Wilson as my witness. And because of due to respect, I have forgotten on family. I could have crushed her up. At that time, I was strong. I didn't have joint pain. All we did, we drove to the police station. The PM never did nothing about it. Nobody ever did nothing about it. And today, see where they are. See where they are. I think if the law had put their foot down and
right.
Send Jonathan back in his place, right. Daniel and Dominic would be there to help everybody. They never know to say no. People would give me letters. They don't know. Right? And then they take him away from us. Not only from me, from all of us. We were benefiting from them. Benefiting from them. These schools took one. Look, I don't even know what else to say. How nice Daniel and Dominic meant to me and the community. You know, they say nothing good not saying Sufure, and it's true. And it's true, we had something good in our hands. And a demon, Lucifer. What a bad name. Sheep. With clothing coming our midst and then destroy a good angel, two angels. Two angels. You know how many people that employ up there? Who know what's going to happen? And another thing, plan one work for them, but God said, no, not there. They have to catch you. If they didn't catch him, what would become plan B? With all the guns and whatever he had up there, what would be plan B? None of us don't know what would be plan B. I was down there working private. He could have been every day I see him passing and watching this man. You know, I didn't know that I was under his head. You know, he will be missed by me and the community. Everybody, Scott Zed, Gal, you know, even Frank Michelle. You know, they were looking for us. A good icon. That's what we had.
Yes, yeah, what about you? You worked with Daniel and them?
I'm inside of the land.
You're the father of the land
like that. Because he brought me to when they brought the land, I was already there. See, he came with aloes.
Okay.
And then I couldn't say nothing.
So you worked with them for the what?
For 40 years.
40 years.
40 years.
What kind of people were they?
Very, very loving people, kind people. No harm to no one. They're free just like Dominicans, because they feel they are free.
Well, that's one. How do you feel about the murder?
Oh, this is just terrible. The terrible murder. You should write that murder should happen. Because I was saying to myself, instead of having that grudge, combine and let's make Dominica, let's make the community heartbroken for people. But don't grudge and to kill him that way. That's not good. That's not very nice. I don't mind that if it was an accident, something happened. But that not that way. Kill him, blame him. That's unfair. That's not a human being who did this. So it's very sad for all of us. And up to now, I cannot put myself. I'm just there standing. I don't know when. So it's very.
So you're the father?
Yes, because he brought me there. He brought me there. And Marcella Sangha from Sufure and Daniel Nangla brought me on the estate. I was there any time of Aloes. The Alo company sold for him and he kept me and I'm just there. Now he's left, and I'm there as the father of the land.
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing? You guys are employees of commiserate. How do you feel about the situation?
It's a very sad situation, you know. We can't express what we feel as workers and as a family. We are a family at Kolibri Ridge, and right now it's like, yeah, just rip all up to pieces.
What do you think about the murder?
Well, worst I've ever seen for the country. Yeah, I would say.
So with some of the voices there, the Vigil, and then 1:31 is the afternoon time, word is spreading quickly.
On Monday, and demonstrate. So for scared Ghanaian people should go down Rose on Monday and demonstrate, put protest that they don't give that man no bail because he's a threat to Sufre scared Ghanaian people. And we all, them people should go and demonstrate on Monday, protest that man don't get no bail. For that matter, the whole of Dominica should just go and protest against those people, just like what happened in St. Lucia. What you all have to do is spread the word around so people can gather and go and demonstrate to stop that bill from those guys. Number one, they shouldn't even allow that guy to go back to Akotlet.
But it's the free escorts that people, those people in that area there. And you know, other people can join them, but they must take the lead and demonstrate and say, no, we want Mr. to get bail because the kind of crime the man committed and the kind of person he is, he's a threat to society. And then they should definitely demand that he doesn't get bail. Let him pay for his crime. I agree that 100%. That the people should not give Mr. any bail. He doesn't deserve bail for that kind of wicked crime he and the other fellow committed. And two people that were so nice to the community. Or you come and kill them and in that kind of barbaric way, burn their vehicle and all kind of business after you kill them and for people for you to get bail and to be at back what center where we scare them by water, cafe motor. No way.
All right, Dominica, the voices there, some there, social media expressing themselves about possibility of bail for the alleged defendants there of the case. And let me get your views. They say innocent until proven guilty.
How much Dominican history do you know? Want to learn some fun facts? We have a great and fun way to test your knowledge and learn more about our history. Get your copy of Dominic Anu, Dominica in Puzzle. Fun for the whole family. Available now on Amazon.com. Visit pushpast10.com to learn more. Email us at dominicainpuzzle@gmail.com. or call 877-698-9894.
So I think we can see why most of us are simply outraged by the fact that this accused murderer has the audacity to be wanting bail from the prison system in Dominica. And we all know what is going to happen if he does receive bail. I mean, let's face it, he's a flight risk. So as soon as he receives bail, I am sure he will easily figure out a way to run from Dominica to be never heard of before. So I hope that the judicial system in Dominica is taking this very seriously and in fact will not grant him bail and whatever treatment he needs, whatever attention he needs medically, he should receive the attention. And I also hope that the Dominican prisoners are receiving the same medical attention that many of them need, because this man as a foreigner should absolutely not be receiving preferential treatment over local Dominican residents. So here we are at the end of the program. It is always wonderful to be here with you for another episode of Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone. We are here every Tuesday from 5:30 Eastern Standard Time as we get powered up and energized for the week ahead, and we remind ourselves of the important life goals that we have set out for ourselves. So again, I want to thank you for joining us every Tuesday, and I want to thank you for making this part of your weekly routine to check out Untapped Potential with Dr. Simone and on TDN Radio. So until we meet the next time, remember that your life story is your strength. Remember to tap in to your potential every week. Remember to stay strong, to stay active, to stay engaged. Until we meet again right back here on TDN Radio, you have yourself a productive week. Take care.